In fact, if you want to go ahead and find the second opening, we're going to read these together. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then I want to read from John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13, just a couple of verses there to tie into the passage we will read from 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's number 13 verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." As much as gifts of the Spirit and gifts of the Lord are important, character in God is more important to God. Okay? "If I have not love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." And here's where God describes love for us. "Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails." Then John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. Father, as we come to the study of Scriptures again today, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is with us even now. The inspiration of these writings is here to interpret them for us and to impart the truth of them to us. I pray, Father, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey what the Spirit says to the church. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I think it's a little unfortunate that we have church. The reason I say that is because I think too often we separate church from the rest of our life. We have our church time, and that's Sunday morning, and that belongs to God. And then we have our life over here, as though somehow these two things are independent of each other. We've got our church and we've got our life. I understand there's a movement that's been going on for time in America and other places around the world, for that matter. It's called the house church movement. And I understand the principles behind the house church movement and the intimacy that the people develop in such relationships as that. And sometimes I think it is sad that we have church on Sunday mornings. Because, you know, really, I would rather talk with you than preach at you and just share from my heart what God is sharing with me and what I'm seeing in the Lord. And we could share back and forth what God is doing in our lives and really minister life to each other. I want to share this message in that vein today with the understanding that this is our life, okay? You know, just as surely as life can be summed up in the word Jesus, because the Bible tells us He is our life. We are made for Him. We are made by Him. Corinthians and Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Christ is our life. Everything about our life is supposed to be about Him. We're supposed to be living for Him and for His glory. And look, guys, if we don't get that, if we don't understand that every moment of every day, our life is supposed to be being lived for Jesus, and so that others can see Jesus in us, and so that we can be a light to them and bring others to the Lord. If we don't get that, then we don't yet understand what life is all about. We don't get it. And just as sure as Jesus is our life, and life can be summed up in that one word, Jesus, the character of that life, the picture of that life, can also be summed up in one word, and that one word is love. The character of Jesus is love. Jesus is God. The Bible says God is love. And so it's on my heart to share messages with you beginning this morning for the next several weeks, however long it takes to get through it, to talk about the love of God. Not only receiving God's love, because that's important and that's where it starts. We'll see that in just a little bit. Because how many of you know you can't give something away you haven't first received for yourself? And the truth is that you and I can't produce the love of God on our own. We'll see that in a few minutes too. We have to receive love from God before we have God's love to share and give with other people. And so that requires an intimate relationship between us and God to begin with. That's where it all starts. It's interesting to me that Jesus would put the commandment, he says here, a new commandment I give to you. And by the way, when he says a new commandment, this is not a commandment that the Israelites, the Jewish people, had not heard before. In Leviticus chapter 18, chapter 19, Moses' law says you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So the commandment of love is not new in the sense that it's something they'd ever heard before. But when Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, remember that Jesus is speaking on the night when he is going to be betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver to give his life as a ransom for the sins of humanity. He is sharing this last night with his disciples what he's about to go through and how they're about to receive the Holy Spirit, who's going to make all the difference in their lives and how they live and how they experience God and the character that they can have as they too can walk in the love of God. The reason that Jesus says a new commandment, it's not because they never heard it before, but Jesus is about to make it possible for his disciples to experience the love of God like never before and to walk in the love and to show the love of God like never before. That's why it's new. It's new in the sense that they can experience it, and now they can show it in a new way. But it's interesting to me that Jesus put it in the form of commandment, a new commandment. Because, and I don't know about you, I think I do, but I just say about me, one of the best ways to get me to not do something is command me to do it. Becky tries all the time. Doesn't work. The best way to get us, human nature is just sort of that way. We're just, our human nature just kind of recoils at the idea of being commanded, of somebody else telling us what to do. You know? And so the idea of being commanded is not something that our flesh finds pleasant. And yet John himself would tell us in his epistle in 1 John chapter 4, he says, we've been commanded to walk in the love of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and God's commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burden to us. Psalmist had a similar revelation. The psalmist in Psalm, let me read this for you from Psalm 119. This president, he's unnamed for us, the psalmist of 119. But he has a revelation himself about the commandments of the Lord in Psalm 119, and I'm looking for verse 47. Is that where I want to go? Yeah. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. You see, the psalmist had the revelation that the commandments of God were ultimately for his good. He realized that. Do you realize that the Ten Commandments are for your good? That's why God gives us the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the parameters of life from a loving God who seeks to protect us from the evil of sin. And so he gives us these commandments so that we'll walk with him and be free from sin and experience his beauty and his glory and his love. And of course, we don't find out until the New Testament. We're not even capable of living by those commandments until the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. But the psalmist knew that God's commandments were for his good. And it's like he's saying, Lord, just command me some more, Lord, so I can be blessed, so I can walk in the way that you want me to walk in my life. And so Jesus puts this forth as a commandment for you and I to love one another, even as he said back over in John chapter 13. Notice he says in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Jesus said, you're to love each other just like I love you. And we just look at the Gospels and we see how Jesus laid down his life at every opportunity to bless people and to do things for others and to serve and to give his life as a ransom and all of these things that he came to do. And he says to us, you're to love each other in the same way that I have loved you. So I want to look at a new series of messages on the subject of love today and just see what this love is all about. Because I believe with all my heart, this is going to sound over the top, but I don't believe it is. I believe that these messages that I'm going to be sharing with you on the subject of love are the most important messages you will ever hear in your life. Apart from the message of salvation in Jesus, these messages are the most important messages you will ever hear in your life. Now, most of you know me. You know that I'm not big on hyping messages and things like that. Although I do, I am excited every week when I have an opportunity to preach the Word of the Lord because I believe in God's Word. I believe God's Word is powerful. I believe it is life-changing. I believe that when we take the Word of God and we line our lives up with the Word of God, instead of interpreting the Word of God to line up with our lives, you know, like we do, if we take our lives and line them up with the Word of God, that it will change our lives, it will transform our lives, and it will help us walk in victory in every area of our lives. And I believe that ultimately, the key truth to finding that victory is discovering the truth of the message of God's love. I honestly believe, and by the way, the word here where it says love one another and where Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a word in the Greek language. It's where we get our New Testament from. It's called agape, A-G-A-P-E, agape. And John, we'll just, this title, this series will just be, it'll keep it short for you. We'll call it agape, right? And it's a different kind of love. There are actually at least three different Greek words that we translate into our English word love. There's a word that's called E-R-O-S, eros. It's where we get our English word erotic from. It's a sexual love. The Greek word phileo means brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia, phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But this word is agape, and it describes the love of God. The love of God, which is the highest of all loves. The love of God, which is humanly impossible for us to create on our own. Only God has this love. Only God creates this love. Only God gives this love. And if we're ever going to give it, it will be because we first received it from the Lord. Okay? This love is the highest form of love that there is. And it's the love that is unconditional. It is a love that is never ending. It is a love that is sacrificial. It is the love that gives its life away for everything else. It's the love that relationships, first of all, our relationship with God needs to be based on this love. But all relationships really need to be. When Jesus said love one another, he's telling us to base our relationships, our love, on a love that is completely unconditional. That says, Mark, you're supposed to love Pastor no matter what he says, no matter what he does. If it offends you, you're supposed to love him anyway. Thank you, brother. Because God loves us with that kind of love. And we're supposed to love each other that way. And see, if we learn to love each other that way, if we love, in fact, this is the same word. He'll say, love one another. Love God. Husbands, love your wives. He'll say, love your neighbor. He'll say, love your enemy. It's all the same word. It's all the same word. Agape. Unconditional. Means I'm not, doesn't, it says, I'm not going to just love you as long as, I'm not going to just love you until, I'm not going to just love you if, I'm not going to love you when you first love me. It says, I'm going to love you. Period. It's a love that never ends. It's a love that has no conditions. It is a love that sacrifices. When we do, well, any kind of marriage counseling, actually, typically when we do pre-marriage counseling, but any kind of marriage counseling, this is the thing we share. This has to be the love that marriages are built on. Otherwise, marriage really is a crapshoot. If love is just based, listen, if love is just based on that ooey-gooey emotional feeling that you have when you first meet and that kind of stuff, those of you that have been married very long at all know those feelings will come and go. They'll pass. You know, and you'll wake up one morning and you'll wonder, what in the world have I got myself into? And that's when you have to know that the relationship that you have with that person is not based on an emotional love. It's not based on a feeling. So that's why the divorce rate is 50% in America today. Because marriages are based on the feeling of love. And when people quit feeling love, they just break off and go in different directions. And it destroys relationships. People don't understand that. I'm going to get into all of that today, but people don't understand that the damage of a broken relationship, what it does to the heart and soul of a human being. But we're to love each other with this unconditional, sacrificial love of God, the love that God has for us to do. I am convinced that if we will love each other this way, this love will fix any problem. It'll heal any hurt. Jim read the scripture for us from Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. We all go through life circumstances that wound us and hurt us inwardly. And people do say things that hurt, you know, and people do things that hurt. And we have breakups and different things that hurt us inwardly. And our heart and our soul, listen, you were created for this kind of love. Do you understand that? You were created for an intimate, loving relationship with God. You were created to walk this earth hand in hand with the Creator Himself, to share love, to give love, to receive love, to walk with love Himself. And our heart yearns for this. Our heart hungers for this. We need this. And it's why this love becomes the salve for our soul to heal us of the hurts that life often inflicts on us. It's the love that we need. It's the only thing that will make us whole in our lives. It'll heal our relationships. It'll free us. Romans, we'll read in Romans chapter 13, where Paul will tell us, when we walk in the love of God, we won't sin. We will not sin when we walk in the love of God, because love does not offend its brother, you see. And so by avoiding sin, we then avoid the negative consequences of the poor choices we often make in life. So walking in love will keep us free from sin and open to experience the power of God. It heals our relationships. I just share with you personally, and I don't often do this, but I feel compelled to today, that when I violated my sacred trust with my wife and with my God many years ago, that it was this love, this agape love of God, that saved our marriage, that healed our relationship. It's a love that says, I am going to love you, period. And when I had violated our trust and given Becky biblical right to kick me to the curb, she chose the path of love. And God healed our relationship. It's why I say, it's why I know, that when we make the choice to walk in God's love with each other, there isn't anything this love can't fix or heal or turn us or turn around and write, will you close those blinds over there? I thought we'd get a reflection, and poor Linda, bless her heart, she's just, thank you, sir. She's squinting to see me over here. Agape is what makes all the difference. Agape is the sacrificial, unconditional, unfailing, never-ending love of God. It's the simple love of choice. It's the love that caused God to send Jesus into the world. You all know the verse. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for our sins, to be that sacrifice, that by believing in him, we would have eternal life. This is the love that caused Jesus to go to the cross. We're there in John. Look over at the 15th chapter. He gives the commandment again and repeats it because it's so important. John chapter 15, verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? Out of his love for us, he gave his life as a sacrifice and as a ransom to pay the penalty of our sins so that we could be free from them. This is God's love, and it's the love that God wants us to walk in as his people. It's the love that you and I are to love one another with all the time. Ironically, it's not a love that you and I can create on our own. And sometimes we think we can, but in reality we can't. Peter thought he could. In fact, Peter thought he had already arrived at that love. You remember the story of Peter on the night when Jesus was betrayed? And Jesus is telling his disciples what he's about to go through and what they're about to go through and how they're, and Jesus says, guys, when the time comes, every one of you, you're going to cut and run. And Peter says, no way, Lord. No way will I ever deny you. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No way. I love you and I'm going to stand with you. And he went this far. He said, even if everybody else abandons you, Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Did you hear what Peter just said? Peter just said, Jesus, I love you more than all the rest of these guys. I love you more. Because if they run, I won't. And you know what happened to Peter that night? Three times, just like Jesus said, three times Peter denied the Lord. Look with me at the Gospel of John. Turn over to the last chapter, if you would, please. John chapter 21. Jesus has now been raised from the dead. There have been other appearances prior to this one. The disciples have decided to go out fishing. They see somebody on the coast. They're not catching anything. They see somebody on the coast who says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. I have to believe that registered with Peter. Peter had been there before, if you remember, when Jesus first met Peter and he borrowed Peter's boat and he preached from Peter's boat. And then he told Peter, after Peter had spent a night out fishing and hadn't caught a thing, Jesus said, just go out a little further and let's let the nets down on the other side of the boat and see what you catch. And he caught more fish than his nets could handle. And here he is again. And this person on the shore says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat and see what you can catch. And they make another great haul of fish and they recognize that it's the Lord. And so they rush to the coast to meet with Jesus. Let me pick up in verse 12 of John chapter 21. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now watch this. Jesus is about to have a special moment with Peter. Peter had declared the night Jesus was arrested and betrayed, Peter had declared, I love you more than all the rest of these guys do because I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And then he abandoned him. And now he's about to have a special encounter with Jesus about that very issue. Read it with me in John 21 verses 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, look at the first question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? That had been his testimony. That had been his testimony. Do you really love me more than these? And he says to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, then shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time. Remember, Peter had denied him three times. And now three times he's having to declare his love for Jesus. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my lambs. And so three times he's having to confess his love for the Lord. He's going through a restoration process. Peter is having to see his failure, see his shortcoming. He's having to confess and admit that he wasn't what he thought he was to the Lord. And he's going through a restoration process. And oh, by the way, he is fully restored. Peter is fully, having denied the Lord, now Peter is going to be fully restored to his relationship of leadership within the body of Christ, the Christian community, as he confesses his love for the Lord. There's a dynamic in this passage of Scripture, though, that we miss in our English reading of the passage. I pointed out to you earlier that there are several different words in the Greek language that are translated into the one language, one word, love, in the English language. And what happens in this passage of Scripture? We miss it. We miss it because it's all translated love here. But there is a dynamic that is happening where Jesus is showing Peter that he's not who he thought he was and cannot love the way he thought he could. Because when Jesus says in verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? The word love there is agape. It's this unconditional, unfailing, sacrificial love of God. Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me unconditionally, sacrificially? Do you love me, Peter, as only God can love? Peter's answer, in English he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But the literal rendering, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, brotherly love. I have a brotherly love for you. It's the greatest love humanly possible. But it's not the love that he was commanded to love with. It's not the love that he testified that he could love with when he told Jesus he would never leave him. He would never forsake him. The second time it's the same thing. Simon, do you love me? Agape, the love of God. And Peter says, Lord, you know that I, phileo, love you with a brotherly love as much as I possibly can in the human sense. And then the third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you phileo? Jesus stoops to the lower form of love when he addresses Peter this time. And I'm convinced that's what grieved the heart of Peter. Peter was having to confess to the face of the Lord that he was incapable of loving him the way that he had earlier promised that he could. And he's having to humble himself. He's having to admit that he wasn't capable of producing the kind of love that he had once attested to have for the Lord. This is the kind of love that you and I must first receive from the Lord before we can give it to anybody else. Look at Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter real quick with me. In order to love people with this kind of love, the way they're... Listen, in order to love your wives, guys, the way that Jesus says we're supposed to love our wives, in order to love our neighbors, the way that we're supposed to love our neighbors, we first have to have an intimate walk and relationship and love with God Himself, because we have to receive this love before we can give it. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. This is, we've come to the last week of Jesus' life now, and the Jewish leaders are testing Jesus, trying to trip him up, trying to catch him in a misstatement of some kind so they can accuse him of not being what everybody thought he was. The Pharisees have come, the Sadducees have come, and now a scribe, a lawyer, comes to Jesus and says in verse 28 of Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, the Sadducees arguing with Jesus, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" What's the greatest of the commandments? Jesus said, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." It's interesting to me that they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They asked for one, and Jesus gave them two. And the reason Jesus gives them two commandments when they only asked for one is because these two commandments go hand in glove with each other, guys. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the foundation for being able to love one another with the sacrificial love of God. If we don't love God the way that we're supposed to, we can't possibly love each other the way that we're supposed to. And the Bible even goes so far as to say this. In fact, I'll just read it for you so you don't think I'm lying to you. Look over at 1 John real quick. 1 John chapter 4, I'm almost done. This is the introduction. I'm almost done with it. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19. It'd be nice to start in verse 7, but for the sake of time, I'll just start in verse 19. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." It's the theme of all of John's writings. And in verse 19, he says, "We love," watch, "because he first loved us." There it is. There it is. We can't love others properly until we have first received love from God. We love because he first loved us. Now watch this. Verse 20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." Those are strong words, aren't they? John says, if you claim to love God and yet you hate a brother, you're a liar. You don't really love God the way you think you do. "For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." We love because he first loved us. Guys, are you aware today of how much God loves you? Are you really aware? Do you really know how much God loves you? How valuable you are to God? How precious you are to God? And we shared before, the way that you really measure the value of a thing is based on the price that someone's willing to pay for that thing. You know, you can say your car is worth so much money, but unless somebody's willing to pay that kind of money for it, it's not really worth that much money, is it? It's only worth what somebody will pay for it. And the truth is, God paid the ultimate price for your salvation when he gave his son. Listen to this. You are worth Jesus to God because that's how much he paid for you. That is incredible. That is incredible. Do you realize how much God loves you? Better question. Do you love Him back? Do you love God today? Do you love God? The Scriptures teach us that if we really love God, there will be evidence of that love in the way that we live our lives toward one another. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being, then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Then we can even love our enemy, because God loves our enemy. And we can love them with the love of God. Do you love God back? Do you know how much God loves you today? When we love God back, we can begin to walk in the love of God with one another. When we begin to walk in the love of God with each other, it releases the power and the blessing of God back into our own lives. We receive God's love. We receive healing. We receive wholeness. We receive completion in our inner man. Satisfaction and fulfillment becomes ours. Listen, this is what life is all about, guys. Life is not about seeing how much you can obtain, or how much you can take, or how much you can make, or how much you can get, or how much you can keep, or any of those kinds of things. Life is not about what you can get out of this world for yourself before you go to be with God. None of those things will ever satisfy you. What your heart longs for is love. And God has it in abundance to pour out on every one of us who will come to Him with an open heart and say, God, I need You in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save my soul. If we'll make that confession to the Lord, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes into our heart. And the Bible says the love of God is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in us, is the love of God. So that, let's just finish up where we started off. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're a believer today, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, He does so to produce fruit. The fruit that He desires to produce in you, according to Galatians 5 and 22, is love, which manifests itself in joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and in self-control. And when that love is in control, we walk in the character of God. We demonstrate 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It forgives. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. When we walk in the love of God, it heals and restores our inward man, makes us complete and fulfills us to be a light to the world who needs to know God's love too. When we walk in the love of the Lord, we learn to walk in His abundance that makes us a blessing to the world. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to take a journey through the Scriptures, find out about this love of God, and let the Lord teach us what our lives should look like as His disciples. Let's pray together. So, Father, as we launch into this new series of messages and teachings on Sunday morning at Victory Fellowship, we pray that our hearts would be open to what You want to do in each of us Father, we acknowledge today that our hearts are not always what they ought to be, and we ask you to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Help us day to day, Lord, to surrender our lives fresh and new to the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would indeed be Lord of all. Father, help us to swallow what sometimes may be a hard pill to swallow, because it will require repentance on our part. It will require confession on our part. We've not lived the way that we should in your sight. We've not allowed your Spirit to have his way in our lives. Help us, Father, to let go of that which is us, that we may lay hold of that which is you. Father, these messages, it's a whole lot easier to preach them and even hear them than to be doers of the word, and yet we know by your grace you can even help us to accomplish this. And so I pray, Father, that over the course of these next few weeks, that the message of love would truly sink into our hearts and into our minds and become a part of who we are as the people of God. That indeed we might learn to love one another in spite of our differences, our little quirks, the things that we have going on, the different way we see things in life. Help us as brothers and sisters to love each other regardless. Help us to love our neighbor as ourself. Help us, Lord, to even love our enemies, because you love them. And many of them don't know you, Lord, and they need to. And you've put us here to give them the opportunity to see you in us so that they might love you too. And they might come to know salvation in Jesus Christ. God, help us to make that our priority. Help us to make the souls of the lost our priority. And help us to be willing to lay down our own ways and even our own rights, if necessary, that the lost might know you as they see you in us and come to love you. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Several people here this morning that we'd like to pray for before we're dismissed, and ask the Lord's grace upon their lives. Dave Sr. and Dave Jr., I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, if you would, please. Turn around and lay hands on Pop back there. Pop's in a walking boot back there and needs a foot to be healed up. Let's pray for Doug for his healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your love and your grace. God, you're so good to us. And you've made promises to us, Lord, of awesome things. One of those promises is healing for our physical body. We bring our brother to you today, Lord, and pray that this foot would be completely made whole, completely restored to total and full health. We thank you for healing it and making it well. And I'm going to ask Rose, if you would slide over and lay your hands on Michelle Marie back there. Gay, would you slide over as well and lay your hands on Michelle Marie? Bless her heart. She almost missed breakfast this morning because she twisted her ankle on the way to church. Let's pray for her. Father, we ask your grace for Michelle Marie today as well. We pray that you would heal this ankle quickly. Lord, it may seem like a little thing, but to Michelle Marie, it's, I'm sure, a big thing. And I thank you, Father, that you care about what we care about. The things that matter to us matter to you. So we ask for healing for Michelle Marie today, Father. ask you to make her completely well. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Kaplingers have been keeping a child from the godparent home that they'll be giving to new parents this week. And we want to pray for little Colton. Yes, you may. Well, Linda's got him right here. So if you would like to lay hands on him, you're welcome to go do that. He heard you were coming. Bless you, Father. Father, we thank you for another mom who chose life. Thank you for the life of this little one. We pray your blessing over Colton, Father, and we pray for the parents that will receive him this week. We pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord, to know how to train up this child in the way that he should go, that their lives before him would be living witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as he goes, we thank you that you are going with him. We ask for favor upon his life. We pray for the health issues that he is having, Lord, that you would completely heal those, and make him well, and make him a blessing in his home and to his family. We pray for this child, Father, that in his season of life, his heart, his eyes would be tender and open, and he would come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Your word says that children are a blessing from the Lord. We count this child a blessing to this new family. Pray that they will bless him in like manner, and we praise you for that. God, we pray for Ashley Gallier today. We thank you that she is back with us and on the mend. We pray you continue to work healing into her body and to make her whole. I pray for Stephanie as she is battling symptoms of allergies. In fact, if any of the rest of you are here today and you're battling cold or allergy symptoms, well, if you would, you stand right in front of your seat where you are? Would you do that for me and just let me pray with you? Any of you, a couple of you, several of you. Oh, my goodness. Let's pray for these people today. I'm going to stand up, too. I'm going to stand up, too. Amen. Karen, God bless you, sweetheart. Father, as we stand today, our stand is our profession of our faith in you. And our love for you. We believe that you love us. And Lord, we want to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. Help us with that, Father, in the power of your Spirit. To that end, Lord, to that end may we live for your glory. And Father, for all these precious people standing now, and Lord, even for my own health, I pray in Jesus' name for grace, a grace that is sufficient to bring healing and wholeness and victory to the children of God. And Father, we make this declaration to you that as this healing comes, we will give you all of the praise and all of the glory for it. However you should choose to manifest it, we leave that to you. But Lord, you receive all the glory for what you will do in your people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everybody else to stand with these that are standing, please. Thank you, Lord. Father, there are other families that are not with us today because of suffering health issues, and I think it's primarily of the Dericott family, but I'm sure there are others as well. We pray your blessing and favor upon them wherever they are today. Father, I pray that you would use the message we've spoken here today to remind us of your great love for us. And again, Lord, over these coming weeks, that you would draw us ever closer to yourself. Fill us continually with your Holy Spirit. May we live a life of complete and total surrender, that you might have your way in us always. Today and forevermore. Bless these that have come here today, Father. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus, I pray that their spiritual eyes would be opened today. They would call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you that there's salvation in none but you, but there's salvation for all who will come to you. We praise you for that. So God, watch over our little church family in the week that's ahead, over all these precious people in this room today. May the anointing of the Spirit go with us beyond the walls of this building. May the light of Jesus shine brightly through each of us that the world may know Jesus is Lord of all. We thank you for it, Father, in His mighty, wonderful, and precious name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together. We'll be dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Before you run off, just real quickly, give thought to the Easter thing. Easter's just a few weeks away, so if we're going to do a special musical, one song for Easter Sunday, we need to know real quickly. So let us know if you'd like to be a part of an Easter choir on your way out.